The following interview was conducted on Wednesday, March 18th, 2020, in the afternoon when there were 77 identified confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Minnesota, and there were still no fatalities. March 18th was the first day that the mandatory school closure, public school closure in Minnesota went into effect after being announced by Governor Tim Walz on Sunday, March 15th. You're listening to KTWH. This is Leo Babeau. I have pleasure during this very busy period for our public officials, and in particular for people who are helping to run our public schools in the state and especially locally in the Lake Superior School District. I have on the phone Superintendent Bill Crandall. Hi, Bill. Welcome to our show as we try to keep people posted on all of the changes that are going on in your world and what it means for the students and families.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
I appreciate very much your time. I just want to start with kind of a how did we get into this situation question, meaning actually stemming from the fact that I've been monitoring the Minnesota Department of Health site for the past 10 days or so, and until Governor Walz made his declaration that schools would be closing on Wednesday, the Department of Health had been saying that they did not recommend the closing of public schools. I'm wondering, did you yet have other channels of communication that at least prepared you for the fact that this closure might be coming, or have you been really speeding up to get up to speed since the governor's announcement?
Myself, along with the administrative team for Lake Superior School District, actually met last Tuesday, and we were discussing the possibility of a school closure, seeing that what was happening throughout the United States with different states closing schools. Obviously, at that point in time, I believe the University of Minnesota was closing and many local universities in the Arrowhead area were closing at that point in time. And so we started having those discussions. What are we going to do for our kids for food? What are we going to do for the situation where they're not in our schools, but we still need to provide education? And, you know, really started thinking about that. And so the seed was planted for our administrative group at that point in time. And then received an email stating that at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning that there's going to be a phone conference with the Department of Health and with the Commissioner of Education prior to the governor's announcement at 10 o'clock. And so we had a little forewarning there, knowing exactly what the governor was going to be sharing. Then that afternoon, my administrative team, along with school nurses, counselors, custodial staff, clerical staff, we had a large group district-wide that met and started planning what are we going to be doing these next 2 days. Do we need to be in school Monday and Wednesday even, or Tuesday? And we made the determination that we did to get information from our communities and to get information from our kids and to our. And so we made that determination to stay in school Monday and Tuesday of this week. And now we're Wednesday, which is part of the executive order that came from the state, and our teachers are just starting the process. So we have 2 days this week, and operating on a four-day week, we have the 2 days remaining this week and then 4 days next week where our staff will be looking at distance learning options and how that is going to be presented to the students of Lake Superior School District. One of the priorities of the governor was to make sure that our students would not go hungry. So nutrition was one of the top priorities. And that program actually started today. So as of today, going out of our kitchens in Two Harbors and out of the kitchen out of the William Kelly and Silver Bay, we delivered meals. And that actually is changing even further. We had sent out last Thursday and then Monday and Tuesday, with Tuesday being the last day to get the survey back, finding out who would like a meal. And we found out that we could do something called a waiver through Department of Education. And it operates as if we had a summer food program, which means that we can feed any child that's in the school age, basically from birth up through 18. If they need a meal, we can provide that meal. And so we are going to, and we're actually in the process now of sending this information out. And so it'll go out. So starting on Monday of next week, we'll be able to provide meals to the broader community of school-age kids.
Okay.
So we'll be asking the community if they're interested so we can have a number for our kitchens to know how many lunches they make. And when I say lunch, it's actually going to be a breakfast, a lunch, and a snack.
Okay. I understood it would be a breakfast and a lunch and even a snack, getting a child through the lion's share of their day, aside from an evening meal. But when I originally was reading, I was wanting to clarify with you, my original reading alluded to folks eligible for free and reduced lunch program being the main recipients. Are we talking about the general population now?
Yes, that is correct. And that our initial survey was focused in on just that population. That's who we serve today and will be serving tomorrow. There are some other folks in there as well, so it's not just that population. And we got those meals out, and now we are working on, based on new information that we actually received last night, through a nutrition webinar from the state of Minnesota, we now know that we're able to provide meals for any child who would like a meal 18 and under.
Well, Bill, it does beg the question. This sounds like you have maybe an all-hands-on-deck kind of logistics involved. How does one get meals? Are these going to be delivered by school bus?
Actually, that is right on the money there.
Wow.
What we are going to do is we have our kitchen staff, and they're more than able to do this, but we also have paraprofessionals who we will reassign to assist as needed. And then our bus drivers are still here, and so our bus drivers will, if it's a bus, it's a bus. It may be one of our other vehicles, like a Suburban, for example. But we are looking now, and are in contact with a couple of strategic locations throughout the district that we will have a set time, and I don't know what that time is, so I don't want to speak to that, but it'll be in the morning, that families can then come to that spot and pick up the meals for their children. The children actually need to be the ones picking up the meals.
Right.
And so we are working that process out today, the planning, logistics, and also how we are going to get the word out, the communication piece and the message, and to get information back. So once again, our kitchens know to make, 50 meals or 150 meals.
So in fact, staff, doesn't sound like any staff are going to not be working, really. Not if you're making meals for delivery by transportation workers. It sounds like this is quite a unique logistical thing that you've set up on very short notice.
Yes, we did give the forewarning out to our bus drivers back on Monday.
Okay.
Let them know that, hey, on Wednesday we are going to need drivers to send meals out. We have been letting our paraprofessionals know that we may need to reassign them to assist with meal delivery. And then, of course, our kitchens were well aware that we are going to be making lunches.
So we have children, a lot of children continuing to be well fed. Now, the children who are not in your building today and tomorrow and Monday through Thursday next week, what have they got in the way of any academic work? What was the plan for this? I think it's important maybe to say that this is in anticipation that this period of being off through the 27th of March might go much longer, that you're doing this distance learning planning. But what about these first 6 days that students are out of the classrooms?
Great question. And the executive order from the governor was that these days are intended strictly for planning. So we will not be, no district, this is not exclusive to Lake Superior School District, but no school district is to be providing any education services at this particular time. The time is set for our educators to do the planning so that in the event that when we get to March 30th that the state has said, you know what, we're remaining closed, we are ready to hit the ground running, and everyone will know what our distance learning plan is, and starting on Monday the 30th, we will put it fully into action.
But students who are home now out of the school and out of the classroom may or may not have assignments that they still had pending, or where does that stand, since you're not technically holding them responsible for any learning for the next 6 days that will be missed?
You know, that's a great question. Technically, and I'm going to use this carefully here,
okay,
no new learning. But say, for example, it's a great opportunity for any children who may have had back assignments because they have been out ill or something along those lines, or missed an assignment. This would be a great opportunity for them to get themselves caught up. Also, you know, the many things that are out there that are web-based that students can get involved with, obviously, reading is just keep reading. You know, pick up a book that you are interested in, and reading is an excellent activity. And then, of course, like I was getting into many web programs out there, educationally based, that would be outstanding for parents to have their children spend some time on during this 6-day break.
So, Bill, the governor has essentially said then we, in this district, with Fridays off, have the 6 days of planning to enact, to put into effect a distance learning program. That sounds like a pretty serious mission to have. We haven't spoken in the past in great detail about the level of integration of online and or extended classroom learning. What did you have to do in order to know what you could do with the students that we have in our rural areas, an area that doesn't see all of our families perhaps have the same kind of access to broadband and maybe even to devices?
Yeah, and a lot of the details are yet to be determined. But some of the things, part of our survey that we sent out, I talked about that earlier, about for food. We also had a second part, and that was, you know, what do you have at home per child? Do you have a device for, you know, the child, and do you have internet access? And then based off of that, that gave us some good understanding of what was out there and what is needed to be supplied. There are definitely going to be some of our rural students who don't have internet capabilities, either by choice or just by the situation of where they're located. We are reaching out to some of the local internet providers to see what can be done and see what some of the options are. In the past, we've had what are called hotspots that we could provide for some students, so we're looking at that. One of the things that may come out on Monday, and once again, using our bus drivers and some of our paras, we may be delivering, could be classroom materials as in the form of packets. It could be a Chromebook device to get out to students so that they'd be able to access the internet. One of the things that I've been hearing about and seeing via the emails that are being shared amongst our staff is we use a lot of Google, and Google has a program called Google Classroom. And through a Google Classroom, there are different models that you can do where the teachers can interact while they're in the Google Classroom with the student. I believe there's a Google Hangouts, there's Google Meetings, and so they'll be able to have direct contact, having dialogue with our students, and students can dialogue with one another in these Google formats. And so that is one of the opportunities that I am sure that we will see come to the top when our distance learning plan comes out. For some of the younger students, it may be a phone call back and forth, and in some cases the teacher may need to actually, you know, I'm thinking in the kindergarten, first grade, second grade, it may be that the teacher needs to actually talk with the parent to share with them what the expectation is for learning for that day. But part of the executive order from the governor coming specifically at the area of communication with our students is that needs to occur on a daily basis.
So it may be both over the internet or, if necessary, in some kind of voice communication, hoping that that at least can reach all households and all the children in those households at the different grade levels.
Yeah, exactly. And that is what our teachers are in the middle of planning, or just at the beginning stages of planning. What will that distance learning look like for Lake Superior School District? And that will be, by the end of next week, we'll actually have the expectations that we have something up on our webpage so parents can see it, and that we'll have that shared out, and so that on March 30th, we can hit the ground running.
A little bit of maybe an awkward question, and I'm going to throw it at you anyway. The school district is probably not meant to encourage people to congregate. Say, if somebody has really great internet service, you're not encouraging people to meet in larger groups to do schoolwork where there's a really good hotspot?
That is correct. Yeah, we definitely are not promoting any of that. And you heard it from the President of the United States, you know, and other health professionals, try and keep those numbers under 10. And even if you're in a small group of 10, you know, still keep that social distance.
Right. We've gotten a pretty interesting picture of how student learning might take place and how you're using our fleet of yellow school buses to become farriers of supplies, both academic and food. It's kind of an amazing story. What about your staff that are hard at work planning? They face a lot of contingencies too. Do they have daycare needs, and how are you addressing that?
Great question. Daycare is a concern, and not just for our staff, but that was another one of the top items that the governor had. And Lake Superior School District does have a child care program through our Kids and Company that's at the Minnehaha. And actually, at the William Kelly, in this particular situation, created child care for school-age kids that our paraprofessionals are working at. And the state has developed like a Tier 1 and Tier 2 as far as folks in need of child care. And in the Tier 1, those are the first responders, folks who work in hospitals or the medical field, you know, firemen, policemen, folks we need out there in our communities so that they feel comfortable, they have child care, and that they can do their jobs because we need them during these times. Tier 2 gets kind of down to that next level of other people that we need, you know, Department of Transportation folks, the line workers for electrical, city workers. And so in that mix, as because of the fact that it's our child care, we're also supplying child care for our staff, and so that they are able to do the work that they need to get done in order to get our distance learning out. And so our child care is open for those groups of individuals.
So you're turning what had been a before and after school program into a day-long program. Do you have to have new staff to do that? How is it?
Well, we've repurposed or reassigned some of our paraprofessionals as needed.
Okay.
But it's operating how we have been. Our program in the Two Harbors area was 6 to 6, still operating those hours.
Okay.
The program in Silver Bay is working during the school days, the same as our one at the Minnehaha. It's our school days, the four-day week, and then it is during the school hours in Silver Bay.
That just goes to show that a lot of us aren't aware of all the child care that the district has had, and we are not so clear as to what the future portends for, like, what happens on March 30th, the Monday following the designated closure. You're planning as if this closure will continue, will be extended at some point between now and then.
Exactly. The planning is to be prepared for March 30th. We should be hearing sometime next week what the plan is for the state of Minnesota ongoing as far as if we're going to be putting distance learning into effect as of March 30th.
Is there any inkling that this may affect graduating seniors, people actually completing the instruction hours that MDE needs to see completed? Will we be talking about a possibility of extended school years? It's all too early to talk about that now, but it must weigh on you that all of those things are complicated by not knowing the timeline.
Yeah, definitely all the questions that you just shared are questions that are going through many superintendents and administrators' heads, and of course parents, and even our down to our students, especially our seniors. And those questions have yet to be determined. Right now we're in that stage of let's be prepared if we need to, as a state, want to be, you know, keep that lid on the, you know, COVID-19 to help prevent the spreading at a rapid pace. And so those questions are being looked at by the Department of Education. There is a daily superintendent call in to the Department of Education along with Department of Health. And so I've been participating in those, and some of those questions will be answered during those sessions.
And in the meantime, families and students who have maybe hundreds of questions, it's really tough to, you can't individually counsel each of these folks when they're out of the building and you have so many things on your plate. So it's a time of great uncertainty. Any words to reassure folks as we look to see where this heads?
Yeah, very accurate description. We do have out on our website, and it's being maintained by our school nurse, questions about the COVID-19, and our nurses updating that. And we will start putting out information updates. We're just going to continue to update our website and Facebook. We've been doing a lot of all calls. We're hoping to try to limit those, but trying to keep people informed the best we can as well. And so when we get answers to some of those dire questions that a lot of folks are having, we are going to get that information out to people, like I said, on our website, Facebook page as well,
yeah,
so we can share information the best we can.
So protocol-wise, with the people that are all in our buildings working and may in fact be going out and delivering goods in the community, you have in place protocols that instruct people who should not be participating at work any longer. I just thought you'd get a chance to speak to that.
Yeah, definitely. The Department of Health has a list of what they are referring to as people that are at risk. And so they have a list, you know, off the top of my head, you know, folks that are diabetic, pregnant, someone who has maybe underlying health condition, more specific to like in the respiratory area, or you have a weakened immune system. Any of those factors, and they're more, are being addressed. We're asking those folks to connect with their building principal, let them know that, hey, I'm in that risk group. Can I work from home? And we are definitely supporting them because most of this is, like I said, it's planning. And we can communicate via the Google platform, as I shared before. Of course, we can connect via the phone as well. And so our staff are being very diligent. They're being very thoughtful, knowing that they want to, you know, they got in the teaching world, educating world, because they're folks who care. And so they're doing the best job they can to be prepared in the event that we do go to a distant learning platform.
Right.
And we as a school district want to, you know, be respectful of them and do not want to put them in harm's way either with any possibility of any kind of a virus getting spread.
And in turn, I was thinking to reassure everyone that folks are not being unduly exposed because you must have had a protocol to make sure that you had people in the buildings who should be there, those that should not be already self-quarantining because of travel.
Correct.
Or exposure.
Yeah, we don't have anybody currently in that
right
mode. We did have a few people who have been traveling. We over the last 2 days, we just did not have them report to work.
Okay. So we should be good to go. Well, thanks so much for your time, Bill. If you have any last words, things to remind people that there will be school buses out on the streets, for a different purpose than we're used to them being out there for.
Yeah, you know, this is a time when there are many questions. Some are unanswered, and that's due to the fact that we don't have the answers, and just be patient with us. We will get information out the best we can and ask questions. You know, we are here, and if we can answer the questions, we definitely will. And if we can't, we will do our best to get that answer for you.
Well, we appreciate very much what the school district is going about doing. And if there's any information you yet want to get out to the students and family as this period of being out of school moves on, I hope you'll contact us, Bill, and we will pass it on.
We will do that. Thank you for the opportunity once again to share what's happening in the school district and the opportunity to work with the radio to share the message and any messaging from the school district.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Bill Crandall, Superintendent Lake Superior School District, and I guess you also have duties up the shore at Cook County. How's that going?
Yes. very similar. Messaging out. Big difference there is that Cook County is on school break next week.
Uh-huh.
And so my staff in Cook County is only having 3 days to prepare for March 30th.
Wow.
But we're doing all the same as I just shared with you regarding getting prepared. The staff is doing a great job, and we've been working diligently getting ready for March 30th. We sent meals out today and sending meals out again tomorrow, and so we're doing the same as far as meals for the kids in Cook County as part of the governor's directive.
Well, thanks. So now we have kind of the scoop on what's happening all along the North Shore up to the Canadian border. I appreciate your time very much, Bill. Thank you for joining us.
Definitely. You're welcome, and thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Take care. Dr. Bill Crandall, he's the superintendent of Lake Superior School District. That's District 381. You can check out their website, isd381.org, and you can also find them on Facebook at Lake Superior School District on Facebook, I believe. And that's the view from here in the world of response to the governor-mandated closing of Minnesota public schools. We're looking and expecting that by the end of next week, there might be a declaration of an extension of that period of being out of the classroom for the students of Minnesota. the school closure measure designed to help prevent the community transmission of the COVID-19 illness caused by coronavirus. This is Leo Babeu for KTWH.